Hallelujah. Tonight I'm going to be teaching how to be teachable. And that's a good thing, isn't it? You know, this was taught August 9th, 2013. And I think it's a really good topic. So we're just going to review it and see some fresh things and perspectives that God wants us to learn. Amen. And so it's really important for us to remain teachable or coachable. You know, if someone is going to be in the Olympics, they have to have a really good coach. And the people who are the winners are the ones that listen to their coach, are the ones that are then corrected by the coach, and then they could do even better and do even more. And therefore, if the coach sees someone who's not, you know, wanting to be coachable, they go find someone who is, because that person's probably just going to buck them. They're going to have resistance, and it's not going to be unity. So where there's division, then there's strife. And when there's strife, there's every evil work. And then the house cannot stand when there's division. And then there's quarrelings, and there's complainings, and there's differences. Now, Brother Hagin used to say to us when we were students at Rhema, agree to disagree. We can do that in a manner by which if someone has a different opinion, we could still be respectful of that person's opinion, and that person can still respect our opinion, and we get along, right? But now, if it's in a situation of a coach and the person being coached, do you know that submission is never necessary when there's agreement? Because you just do it together. So submission is necessary when you may not necessarily be in agreement, but if you have chosen that leader or that teacher, even if we don't understand it, we need to follow. And then we'll get understanding later. A lot of times people will get something from the Lord, and the Lord will want them to do something, but they want everything to be perfect. You know, I used to ask people, do you want to get saved? Are you ready to get saved? No, I have to first clean myself up. I have to stop sinning. I said, in that case, you'll never get saved. Because we all have faults. We all have weaknesses. You ever heard people say, I'm not going to have children until I have enough money? Then they'll probably never have kids. Because there's always some other bill that comes up, or something else that needs to be paid for, or even if they're multimillionaires, there's some other investment that has to be made. And, you know, pretty soon it's like, oh, well, let's just have kids, okay? Let's just enjoy them. We can't get ourselves ready for Jesus. We can't become good enough. He paid the price. He did it. He's perfect. He's the only one that could have been ready to do this. So none of us have the ability to become better or good enough to get saved. We need that salvation now, wherever we're at. It's like someone who only believes in doctors. And they're bleeding to death. And they say, why don't you go to the emergency room? And they said, no, I have to get better first. Right? No, but when they go to the emergency room, then they put themselves under the submission of that doctor, and the doctor teaches them what they need to do after they patch them up and say, now you need to do this, this, and this. And if they don't do this, this, and that, then Kenneth Hagin said a lot of Christians are still alive because they went to doctors because they didn't know how to stand in faith. They didn't know how to receive. They didn't know how to, you know, as we teach in ABC, repent and receive and break and cleanse. So doctors keep Christians alive until they get to that point of learning. And the more we receive God's teachings, the more we want to become teachable. Why? Because as we have stepped out in faith, said, God, I need you. I need you. I can't do it on my own. Whatever you're asking me to do, if I have to prepare to be able to do that and obey you, I could never get there. When his word says do it, you just jump in. You just go for it. See, without trust, there's no relationship. Without trust, there is no faith. If you trust God and his word, you confide in it, you're just going to believe it and step out. No matter if you don't understand it. But see, we have to be teachable. We have to receive the teachings of God and the Holy Spirit and just say, go for it. And when God gives us a mandate and something specific, if it takes us years to get there, it's better to obey than sacrifice. Because if you just do it, everything will fall into place because of the obedience. But if we say we got to get everything in order, the devil's going to accommodate to make sure you're never ready. He's going to block you every step of the way because obedience isn't, I've got everything in order. No, obedience is just, I'm going to go for it, Lord. Me and you. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I see what you're telling me to do and I'm just going to go because you know what? On the other side of that obedience are blessings. Even though I have to consecrate everything in my life and just say, oh, I don't know how to do it. I'm just going to do what you're asking. That's where we become more teachable. And the Holy Spirit can then teach us more when we obey what he wants us to do, that mandate. If we don't complete that one mandate, he can't give us the others. It won't happen. Because see, until we complete this mandate, I can't get the next one because I haven't achieved and learned what he wants me to learn to get to the next point. So I'm holding myself up by not being teachable, by not being completely obedient and not say, I'm going to get all my ducks in a row. Then I'm controlling my life. I'm not letting him control my life. And one thing that many people have a hard time doing is letting Jesus become Lord of our lives. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our Redeemer. He's our friend. But to make him the boss, whoo! I don't want anybody bossing me around, people say. A lot of North Americans say that. Oh no, I'm going to control my own life. And then the Holy Spirit says, then Jesus can't be your Lord, your boss, your control. You see, people get mixed up and think that we are the masters of our life. But see, that's not the way God made the kingdom of God. He starts with a seed. Everything is seed, and then there's a harvest. God made man in his image. God made a creation, us. We have a creator. He's our teacher. He's our everything. So we think we can master our own lives. He made us to obey a master, him. That is how we were made. We were made to follow a leader. That's the way we were made. And people get mixed up and think that they can control their own lives instead of say, Lord, you control my life. He's not going to force us because we have free will, but he is going to guide us and he does demand obedience. And the person who doesn't obey is the person that gets hurt. He doesn't tell you to do something for his benefit. He tells us for our own benefit. He doesn't say you should tithe as a suggestion. So guess who's getting hurt? The person who doesn't tithe isn't getting financial blessings. God doesn't need the tithe, but we need the obedience so that we get blessed as we tithe. We get the blessings of the obedience being teachable and coachable to his word. So we have to do what his word says. We can't do what we think is best. And that's why we have to continually ask the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and lead us and grow us more. Amen?
Amen.
Now, A, know the teacher in the fear of the Lord. One, knowing God produces the fear of the Lord. A lot of people say, should I be afraid of God then? No, it's not talking about that kind of fear. The translation, we're going to see in a minute what that really means. But when the prophet Isaiah declared, woe is me, when he saw God, you know why? Because in the presence of God, you realize how great he is and how small we are compared to him. People used to think the earth was the center of the whole universe and that man was the greatest thing in the whole galaxy. And then we realized that we were on the back end of the universe and there are planets like a gazillion times bigger than our planet. And sometimes planets implode and there's galaxies far, far, far away that it takes us years and years and years and years to get there. I mean, look at Earth as if somebody had a little tiny dot at the end of a sentence in comparison to a big 747 plane. That dot on that 747 would be Earth. Nothing compared to the greatness. And the more we know about God, the more we see he is more and more awesome. And we're trying to boss him around? I think not. And the Apostle John wrote, I fell at his feet as dead when he saw Jesus. Why? The sheer awesomeness of his glory overtook him. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Because his goodness is so great, the closer we get to God, we feel that goodness. We don't want to sin anymore. And so we need to be in communion with him so much more every day. So we are giving up the things of the world. And we're not going to be like it anymore. I don't want to be a friend of the world. I want to be a friend of God. And more as I see myself changing. Other people said this too. It has happened to me. I've been watching a movie that I thought was okay, an oldie but goodie. And then I look at the movie, I go, I don't remember that cuss word in there. Because before it didn't bother me. Now it does. Oh, I didn't remember that movie has such sexual connotation. I used to think it was funny. Now I don't. I'm seeing things that I didn't see before because I'm departing from evil. And the more and more I'm cleansed, I don't like that anymore, so I turned it off. That's not entertainment to me anymore. I mean, we have over 100 channels on our cable. And we can't find anything good to watch anymore, hardly. Is there something wrong with that? The world isn't changing. I'm changing. You're changing. As we grow and get cleansed, we're becoming more and more like him. We want to become more and more holy. We want him to teach us how to become more like that. Many of us don't ask God to give us more fear of the Lord. As I grew up in a denomination, there was such reverence in that church. There was such respect that the minute you walked in the place, no one spoke, no one talked, no one interrupted the preaching, no one asked questions. It wasn't a seminar. We went to worship God, and everyone reverenced that place. And when we exited the building, then we could visit. We have to get back to the fear of the Lord. And you know, in many of those places, the move of God is great when people come in that fear of the Lord, expecting His holiness and His anointing to flow. It will to a greater degree. 2a, the fear of the Lord, the definition is awe, reverence, fear, dread, terror. Why? Because those that are sinners, they know that God could just wipe them out. He wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. And do you know that even though that someone doesn't know God, when they sense His presence and their evil, they run from Him? But when there's someone who's godly, they run to Him. See, it's dread for the evil. It's awesome reverence for those that are godly. And the same word is used in Psalm 102:15. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord. Now that is a fear. Okay? They were scared when they heard of all the awesome things that the God of the Israelites did when He took them out of Egypt. They were afraid of the God of the Israelites who killed the entire Egyptian army in the Red Sea. They were afraid of the God who could bring a pillar of light at night, a big tornado that didn't destroy the Israelites, but stayed in one place and gave them warmth and light. They were afraid of the God who, when they saw this big cloud over millions of people as they were walking through the desert to give them shade, they were afraid of that God that all of a sudden supernatural food came down every day for His people and water came out of a rock. That's not normal. But the people who were following God feared Him with awe, thanking Him and gratitude for His miracles and the goodness and the things that He does. I remember one time when I was a missionary and I came from Central America to LA to visit my family, and I had two big bags. And in those days, they didn't really have wheels on them. You had to lug them. And I forgot to get American money. So, you know, those coins from the foreign coins don't go in those slots for those wheelie carts very good. And it was at a time where the international banks at the airport were closed, so I couldn't go get an exchange. So I said, okay, I have to lug these big things. It was the first time I came back, so you know, my brother wasn't used to going to Tom Bradley's International. He had gone to the regular because I was waiting, and it was a payphone. You have to go to the payphone. And in those days, you could make a collect call. And my mom says, your brother should be there. I said, where? And she told me what terminal. I said, oh, that's domestic. You know what? He doesn't know. So I'll hop on one of those tram things and goes around the airport, and I'll just meet him over there. And we didn't have cell phones in those days or anything, but my bags were so heavy. So I'm dragging one, you know how that there's that little lane and then you go to the sidewalk and then there's another street. And so I'm dragging it across there, and I had to leave my other bag over there in front of baggage claim. And then I put that one on the sidewalk, and I'm going back to get the other bag. And this man says, oh, let me take that bag for you. And I'm thinking, what a gentleman. And he didn't take it to me. He started taking it for himself and running away with it. And I went, stop in the name of Jesus. And I kid you not, the guy goes like this. He turns around and he looks at me and he goes, drops my bag and runs away and catches a bus. And I looked in back of me. I said, there must be a policeman. And he got scared. Nobody around me. I go, well, I did comb my hair. I don't look that bad. I mean, what scared him? And the thought came to me. He saw the angel of God protecting you. And it scared him. And he knew you were a woman of God. And he was so scared, he left your bag there because it was holy. And I said, geez, he couldn't have dropped it on the sidewalk. I go in the middle of the street now. So I go on the street. I have to lug that bag over to the other bag. See, he feared God because he was evil. He became afraid. And I was in fear of reverence of what God did for me that I couldn't do for myself. See, we need to have more reverence of God because of that holiness. When we walk in it, people see that holiness on us. And then they either want to draw closer to God or they're repelled by it. You ever had someone come up to you and say, could you please pray because I know God hears you better than he hears me? A lot of people say that because they see that in your life. They see what God has done through you and for you, and they know you've got an inroad with him, right? Well, in the end times, we have to see the glory of God, not in heaven, but upon us, as the demons will run from us in fear of us because of who is inside of us. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to be afraid of any demons. I'm not going to be afraid of any extremists, radicals. No, they're going to be afraid of our God when they see him in us because of the authority we stand in and that we have been taught by the Holy Spirit, so much more of who we are in Christ and become more and more teachable, and that we become more and more evident of who we serve. Amen? Hallelujah. And so B says, to B, the fear of the Lord, this is the definition, is the beginning of knowledge. I want to know more about him and his kingdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 and Psalm 111:10. I want his kind of wisdom, not my own. Man, I've made so many mistakes. I thought I was doing something right. It did not work out right. Mm-mm. But you know, if I had gone to him to begin with, if I reverenced him and had enough fear of the Lord, I would have just gone and asked him before I went and did it. That would have been smarter. So now I try to live my life that way, right? And anytime I make a mistake, sure enough, I forgot to ask him. Number three, God is omniscient. What does it mean? He knows all things. And if he knows it, so why doesn't he just tell us what it is? Does it make it easier instead of us trying to go figure it out? And, oh, that's not the way it works. Oh, and that one's not the way it works. Oh, that's not. You know, God, I'm just tired. I'm giving up. Can you just help me now? I mean, that's the way most people operate, right? Let's just be wise and go to him to begin with. A, all scripture is given for the transfer of knowledge from God to you. If you reject wisdom, oh my gosh, God will reject you in that which you are rejecting. So the fear of the Lord is wanting more knowledge in the wisdom of God and things of the Lord. The word will set you free. So rejecting the word is rejecting the applicable part of your freedom. See, we're free to choose, but I want to be free from the snares of the devil by being led by the Holy Spirit as he continues to teach me. Amen? Amen. Now, give and it shall be given back to you. That doesn't say maybe you should give. Once in a while you should give. Only if you feel like it you should give. Only if you have extra you should give. Only after you pay your bills and Uncle Sam first, you should give. It doesn't say that, does it? No. It just says give. So we have to be obedient. And then what we give shall come back to us. That's according to Luke 6:38. For you reap what you sow, Galatians 6:7. Now that people think it means good stuff all the time. No. If people are angry and yet yell, guess what happens? People start yelling back at you. If you are mean to somebody, then guess what? Later on, someone else is going to be mean to you. And we don't realize we're reaping stuff we had sown years ago. So if I don't like the state of my life or something's in it, I have to check. What did I seed that is now having a negative harvest? And then I have to repent, cancel, make null and void those things. And now I'm going to speak the word of God over that area of my life and be teachable and coachable for the Holy Spirit to show me how to change and grow in that area. I'm not always going to blame the devil, because sometimes it was just me not being obedient to the word, or before I even knew God and his word, or didn't understand the Bible, thought I was a good person. But you know what? Thinking in our own minds doesn't mean it lines up with his word. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman or workwoman that need not be what? Ashamed, right? Okay, so don't be disobedient to sow rejection of any part of God's word. I don't want to reject God's word. I want to be obedient to receive God's word. I want to obey what he tells me and his mandates and his assignments for my life. I am going to be quick to do what he says. Because the quicker I do it, the quicker I get out of my challenges. The longer I wait, the devil's going to accommodate me and make sure there's more roadblocks so I don't get there, because the devil doesn't want us succeeding. Success is obedience. B, approach the teacher in humility. We've got lots of great teachers at ABC. We have our wonderful pastor, Pastor Joshua, and Pastora Sarah. But we need to approach with humility. And, you know, people that think they're a know-it-all, they find out sooner or later that that's not the way it is. You know, the school of hard knocks is not the best school, is it? Because people get beat up too much emotionally, and then they have to just tumble themselves. But, you know, it's not good to have, you know, be eating dirt and a piece of humble pie. That doesn't taste very yummy. It's better to eat pumpkin pie come Thanksgiving, or any other kind of pie you like, right? But we need to humble ourselves to say, Lord, I need your help, because I've been trying to do something that you want me to do and it's just not working. What do I need to do to adjust? We need to just be so in fear of him that Did we forget that he wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah? Now, we're not going to get wiped out when we're obedient to serve him and we're a believer that loves him. But we need to get respect back, in the sense of when he says something, we need to be quick to just obey and not delay. Amen? That shows him we love him more, right? Okay, so God teaches his way to the meek. So those people who are having challenges and can't understand what they should be doing, maybe we need to become meeker, because then he'll be teaching us. Maybe we have some resistance in our life so that we are not seeing what he wants us to see because of that resistance. So we should go to him and say, Lord, where am I resisting you? Where am I not coachable? In what area of my life? Because in this area of my life, I really see a lot of fruit. But in this area of my life, it's kind of drought. And there's kind of weeds in there. And I don't see a lot of fruit coming up in there. Could you help me there? And maybe that land needs to be really plowed and watered by the word of God. But he could show us what's going on in that area so it could be just as fruitful as the other areas, right? Okay, and two, with humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Wow. life. He means long life there. He doesn't mean just living day to day and trying to get by. It means the abundant, prosperous, healthy, completely healed life of God, living forever. Wow. I want that. Lord, teach me. So you know what? I got to become meeker. So Lord, show me in what areas I'm not meek enough. And teach me how to overcome those roadblocks. In Jesus' name, that's what I think we should all be doing. Two, with humility and the fear of the Lord. Wow, fear of the Lord. See, if I'm going to reverence God, that means if you reverence God, the blessings are going to run to overtake you. Riches aren't just money. It's unity. It's peace. It's a place where there's no strife or arguing. It's where people get along. It's where you're in a place where you're celebrated, not tolerated. Riches means so much more than just money, because money can't buy some of those things that are more valued in the kingdom of God. Amen? Number three, approach a holy God in holiness. Take off your shoes, for the ground is holy, he said in Exodus 3:5. Wow. Sometimes we just come to church and we're just like chit-chatting and the worship music's going on, and then finally some people start to sing, but then the worship time's over and they didn't even get any anointing. Or they come in, you know, boisterous, and they don't realize things are going on. I think we need to have an attitude that when we walk in this place, it's holy ground. I think we need to remember this is a place of worship and a place of prayer. This is where God abides. And I want his anointing to grow and not just like a bird flying away because we have forgotten how to walk in that reverent awe. The more we reverence God, guess what's going to happen? The greater the anointing is going to grow. And who's going to benefit? All of us. We're going to get such immense revelation of teachings to guide us through the end times. Don't we need that? Don't we want that? And let's leave the world out that door. And when we come in here, we have a piece of heaven. We come in unity. We come with humble hearts. We come with the meekness, fearing God, to see what awesome stuff he's going to do, and more awesome stuff every service, every time we meet together. I'm excited about that, aren't you? Hallelujah. Be holy, for your God is holy. Lord God, what areas of our lives? Show us right now, Holy Spirit. Do we need to tweak and let go of? Because there are things we're used to doing. There are things that we have learned. Maybe there are things of the world and of this earth. But there's a higher way. I want to learn that. Lord, help us all to be more holy. In Jesus' name. For God prefers obedience to sacrifice. So that's where any area of your life that you remember God has asked you to do something that you're not quite there yet, say, Lord, I want to be quick to do it. I'm just going to go for it. And then you're going to make everything fall into place. Get your blessings quicker. Don't delay anymore, right? Delight in the word of God. Oh, man, the more I am in his word and study, it's like, sometimes I don't even like to be interrupted if the phone rings or whatever, because I'm getting so much good stuff. It's like, have you ever been famished and then you just sit down, you know, like after you've been on a big fast, and I say, I don't know if this food is better at this restaurant than it was last week, or just because I haven't eaten, or both. That's how I feel about the Word of God sometimes. And if we're not feeling like that every time and every day, we're dropping into complacency. We're getting too busy. Well, we don't want to be under Satan's yoke. So we have to stop and consecrate And those things that are keeping us busy doing good things for God are not what he wants us to do if we're not obeying what he told us to do. Make sense? So the devil says, okay, you could do something good for God because you're not getting close to God. He wants us to be more and more with him. And spend time with him as did Enoch. Enoch was so loved by God that God wanted him to be with him that he took him. He's not on this earth anymore. I want that experience. Amen. Amen. And so when we all get raptured, it's going to be those that are spending so much time with God that God wants us to be with him. Amen. See, learn from the teacher in obedience. Learn as a little child by trusting him and being obedient to his word. You know, trusting. Wow, if you don't start trusting him more, that means you. If you don't trust a lot of people, it means you really don't trust God. Because people who are children of God, we need to start learning to trust them as they're changed, they're new creatures, and now we give them that chance to grow. Because if we always see them in the light of what they used to be, then what if God said to me, oh, gee, I'm not going to trust you anymore because you used to be like that. I'm working so hard at getting rid of sin, being cleansed. And what if God never gave me a second chance to show him that really I'm living for him now? That'd be awful, wouldn't it? I got to stop doing that to other people. Give them the chance to grow. The grace that I want extended to me, I have to extend to others. Amen? To have faith in his word, for without faith it is impossible to please God. So as I rely in confidence of his word, I'm just going to do it regardless if I understand it or not. Remember we talked about that? And that is really just stepping out there and saying, okay, Lord, here I go. Take that leap of faith. Just do it. So there's a lot of things that God is reminding each one here that he may have told you a while back that he wants you to put in the forefront and to put it on the top of your priority list now instead of on the bottom. Amen? Because guess what? He sees the big blessings that you've been missing out on and he wants you to get it now. All right? Hallelujah. A, 2A, you must believe his written word. B, you must have hearing ears and seeing eyes. C, you must try to grow toward hearing and believing his spoken word. So every time we come to church, every time we come to an ABC event or wherever we're listening to the word of God, we have to have our attention focused and attuned because we might miss out on the very thing that God wanted us to receive that day if we're distracted. And so, be washed by the water of the word. Holy Spirit, wash all of us right now. Just wash away all the things, all the cares of the world, all the worry, all the concern, all the things we used to do to control our own decisions in life. Let your word change us, Lord. We're willing to change. According to James 1, 22 to 25. And that's how we escape the enemy's snares. He is our Lord. And we are hearers and doers because we do what you say, Lord. 4, we learn in humility from others. Teach us to be more humble, Lord God. And what you do to the least, you do unto Jesus. How am I treating others? How am I thinking about others? What would Jesus do? Do I esteem others more highly than I esteem myself in regard to our plans or hopes or ambitions or emotions or thoughts and desires more highly than I do of myself? God says to have this in mind of obedience, which was in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to make us more teachable. We want you to be our coach, Holy Spirit. We want to learn from our pastor and all the anointed teachers of the body of Christ And teach us to hear your voice clear. Teach us to be quick to obey, not delay. Teach us that no matter if the circumstances aren't aligned right, that we're just going to obey and you're going to align them because of the obedience. Sometimes, Lord, it's only you that can right those things because of the obedience. So I thank you, Lord God, that your anointing is growing stronger and stronger at ABC as we choose to walk in a greater fear of you, Lord, and respect for our awesome God. Teach us, Lord God, how not to sin. Teach us to become holier. Help us to find more time to draw closer to you and bind the enemy that tries to roadblock us from spending more time with you. And I am so aware now of the schemes of the enemy trying to keep us away from spending more time in the presence of God, so that his glory would be upon us and that the demons would run from us and that people will draw closer to Jesus when we come in their presence, as they feel that anointing and see Jesus in us, and that we could be that ambassador of Jesus Christ, leading them to get to know him as their Lord and Savior. And those that are evil will continue to flee from us as we draw closer to you, Lord. We want to be more teachable so that we could teach others your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.